that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers this first Saturday of March, March 7th, 2015. And had to put a new headset in here or swap one around. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Does that sound all right to you?
Sounds good.
Good. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Appreciate you getting up and joining us this morning. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And I guess everything is, levels are all right. You guys will just have to tell me. Like I said, had a headset kind of bust on me this past week, and luckily we had one in here. Sometimes we have two or three guests here in the Radio Ranch, and Jason's got it all set up where we can do that, so that's a good thing. But we welcome you men, and we welcome you, the remnant out there, joining us this Saturday morning for coffee. Hopefully you got your coffee. There's a couple things you need for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and coffee's one of them. Hopefully you
have to turn your headset a little bit.
I'm sorry?
You're going to have to turn your headset down a little bit. You're over-modulating.
All right. Well, that's what I needed to know. Is that any better there?
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that. Yeah, what you hear here is not necessarily what you hear out there. So, anyway, but you do need coffee for Coffee with the Wranglers, or at least it's recommended. Hopefully you have your Bible, and then... On top of that, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's what we do. So we're going to open up in prayer, and then wherever we go, we'll go. That's kind of how it is. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning you've given us here at the Radio Ranch. The sun is shining, the sky is blue, Lord, and looks like the prettiest day we've had in a week or two. We thank you for it, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit presence to be here with us, that you'd guide our thoughts and our words. Lord, you'd give us a blessed time of fellowship with each other, with the remnant, and with you, Lord. We ask you to be here with us, and that, Lord, the things we talk about, and the subject matters we bring up and the Bible verses that we read, Lord, we pray that they would edify your people to love and good deeds, that it would strengthen your people, Lord. It would remind them that you are still in control, you are still on the throne, and that you still direct the hearts and minds and actions of men. And we thank you for that, Lord. And also that you are not so far away that you don't hear our prayers and our pleas. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. Help us, Father, as we continue to do our best to build upon this foundation that was built here in this ministry. Lord, we do it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And if we could start off with a prayer. Got to talk with Glenda late yesterday evening, and we'll be getting a prayer request out here this morning after the program. But a couple prayer requests. Brent and Glenda just had a little baby not too long ago, and little Sarah, and she's they had to take her to Arkansas Children's Hospital. She was having some breathing difficulties. And John, I didn't know if you got in touch with Brent later last night or not.
No, I haven't yet.
So
pretty late by then.
Yeah, it was pretty late last night. But I told her we'd sure pray for little Sarah. And she was having some breathing difficulties, and they had just she was having some congestion to start with. But anyway, I sure told them that we would do that. So, Jason, do you want to start off with a prayer for little Sarah?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift up little Sarah to you, and we just pray, Father, for these complications that she's having to go away, Father, plain and simple. We want her to breathe perfectly, flawlessly, with no assistance, Father, and we just ask that you be the one that guides her and directs her and that helps her and that works in her body, Father. We come against this affliction in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bind it and we cast it to your feet, and we ask that you send it on to where you see fit. See to it that she can get out of that hospital and that she can recover rapidly and go home with her family where she belongs, Father, and we just pray that you see to it that takes place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And Heavenly Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over that little girl right now, Lord, the umbrella of protection that she has through both of her parents who are both born again, baptized, believing Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, didn't know what you guys wanted maybe to start with, John or Jason or Kyle, if you had something you wanted to start with this morning here. That's kind of how that goes.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw, but it looks like on February 13th at 4 p.m., 2015, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Bureau released a possible ban on M8. 55 green tip AR-15 223 basically. Jason probably knows more than I do, but what's interesting is I just read an article this morning. The ATF puts out a handbook basically to supposedly help you to stay within their guidelines, and they do it about every 10 years, and apparently they just revised it in January of this year, and that ammunition is already banned based on that new guidelines of the BATF. So it's basically a dog and pony show, and if the ban upholds and they're not going to grandfather anything, then basically millions of people became felons overnight by even possessing that green tip 223. You know anything more on that, Jason?
Yeah, basically is what it is. There's so much hypocrisy involved in that. Before, in the past, they have they've always had an exemption in the form that came out. Armor piercing ammo I can't remember what year it was, but basically they made it illegal for a pistol round, and they banned the manufacturing of specific pistol rounds for that were armor piercing. Well, they always always had exceptions because later on people started building AR-15s that were pistols and 223 pistols, and so they had exemptions in there that said that, you know, this was deemed a rifle cartridge, and just because someone started building pistols in it, they said that it's not considered a pistol cartridge. And that's what the exemptions always have been, that it was originally intended as a rifle cartridge. It could not be used, it could not be considered a pistol cartridge. It was
sounds like the FN
purpose.
Model 5.7.
Yeah. So is what they did is, and that's one thing that they completely did with the, did away with the exemptions to the rules, which they did away with on the 308 a number of years ago. You know, 30-06 and 308 are both a 30 caliber bullet. They both shoot the, you know, for the armor piercing in a 30 caliber, it's a 155 grain bullet, 165 grain bullet. They made some of them. And the difference was they had a steel core, just like the M855 that they're talking about is a steel core. And what it has is it has a tungsten core to it that, when you strike something, it just, it's, you know, it's steel. It's harder than the lead, and it's harder than the copper jacket, and it just continues to penetrate through what you're shooting at. Okay, so, you know, with the 30-06 and the 308, they banned the 308 in it, but the 30-06 is legal to own and to possess. It's the same bullet, different cartridge, but they deemed that 308 is a pistol round. So they did the exact same thing several years ago with the 308. They just hadn't got around to doing the 223 yet. The messed up thing about it is like the M855, SS-109, that stuff was what people were shooting because it was economic to shoot. It was surplus, military surplus ammo. That's what the military uses. You know, we would get these batches that come back after a certain amount of years of it being in military service. They would release it for military surplus because they, after, and I can't remember if it's 5 years or 6 years when they release it, they don't want old ammo sitting around. They don't want the troops using that, so they get new stuff, and they're constantly buying new stuff, and they constantly turn their stock, and they dump it on the market, and that's what people would buy, and a lot of people buy it for shooting, just for practice ammo, because it was so cheap at different times. You know, they're saying they came out, and another part of it is they came out with it and said, okay, this is going to save cops' lives. This is going to save military lives. Okay, military and police officers in general wear a class 2A vest, and that's the armor rating on it. A standard 223 round that is not an armor-piercing round, not a penetrator round, not an M855 round, will go through that just fine. There's no difference on it. It will penetrate up to a 3A vest. So them saying that it's going to save, that they do it because it's going to save lives for police officers, when it doesn't have any effect upon it, doesn't matter what you shoot it with on it, the velocities are so high on a 223, go through it anyway. Second of all, there's never been a case where a law enforcement or a military officer has been shot with SS-109 and killed. So there's obviously a lot more to the story than they're letting on.
Another attack on freedom.
Well, it's an attack on freedom, too. And plus, first question I asked is like, okay, where's all these millions and millions of rounds that we're supposed to get put on the market? Where are they going to go? You know, who's going to get them? And, you know, then you hear about, the ISIS
government agencies
and all these Muslim organizations that are getting their hands on millions and millions of rounds of SS-109 ammo and military rifles. Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah. Just another attack on freedom, really.
Yeah, it looks like about half also, best I could tell, about half of the ammo out there for 223 is this type. I know there for a couple of years it was really expensive. It's come down to, you know, about 30 cents a round. You can find some of the 223 or 5.56 ammo if you buy it in bulk and that type thing. And, you know, if you take half the ammo off the market, well, the remaining ammo in there is going to go up three times the price.
Right.
And
well, look at what they did, too. They shut down, what, another one of the lead producers, right? One of the only ones left in this country.
Yep. Yeah, they closed down the last lead smelter in the entire country. And that was from the EPA, just nothing, you know, not elected officials passing a law, but
right.
these departmental officials in the EPA saying, oh, you have to meet these new guidelines we've set. Now,
right, and then the brass, too, they banned, banned the brass.
And the guidelines they set are untenable. They you know, you could spend, I think the one place said they could have spent $225 million and not, you know, towards trying to clean up their the smoke that comes out and the refuse that they have and that type of stuff in that lead smelting plant, and still not met the EPA's guidelines, because nobody else in the world meets the EPA guidelines that they were requiring for this lead smelting plant. The lead smelting plants in the other countries don't, down in Mexico and up in Canada and China and everywhere else, and no other factory or facility could meet these requirements. So basically, the requirements were set up by the EPA to close down this last lead smelting plant in the country.
Yeah, well, it's nothing different with what they're doing with the coal-fired power plants, too. Same thing.
Yeah.
Also, regarding the ammo, what did they made it illegal to for the military to turn in their brass, too, right, for reloading. So you can just see the attacks everywhere on freedom. Continuing.
Yeah, seems like back in the spring of 1776,
yeah.
a certain group of red-coated soldiers under the king's authority were marching to do that very thing, to take the guns and ammo and the powder from the people. And that caused about a, what, 4.5-5 year war and fight. And so there truly is nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, another thought occurred to me this week. Well, we know for the most part, a lot of people in this country don't fear God anymore. But there's something else that they don't fear, those that are running this country, and that's treason. And I looked that up. It's Title 18, Crimes and Criminal Procedures, Part 1, Crimes, Chapter 115, Treason, Sedition, and Subversive Activities. It's number 2381, Treason. It says, whoever, owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death. Now, I think that's where it used to end, but now, and it looks like it's been amended several times, maybe Doug Nelson can look into that or somebody, but it says, or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined under this title not less than $10,000. I don't remember that end of that phrase being part of the treason, because I know when I grew up, you heard about some kind of Soviet treason and stuff like that. It was death penalty, and those people feared that too. So I think it's kind of interesting that it looks like it's been revised, the law.
It probably has. Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Well, you know darn well, we'd have to go into producing ropes in this country if we were going to hang all the ones that are guilty of treason, because the ones from China probably break when you pull the lever.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Well, that's part of a lot of what they've done, is they've created themselves into a god where there's no penalty. They can do no wrong. They can see no wrong. They can, you know, it's... they can do whatever they want and get away with it and are rewarded for it. You know, it used to be if they were going to take a bribe and try to do something like that, you know, they didn't think about it because, you know, is taking a little bit of money, that ain't going to do you anything when you any good once you're dead. And, you know, they thought about that. It kept them in check. Now, oh, yeah, well, I can take a $2 million bribe here and end up in jail for a couple of years.
$10,000 fine.
Might be worth it.
It doesn't bother them anymore. It doesn't. It's just, you know, write a check.
God.
Yeah, get out of jail free card they think they have. Kyle and I were talking earlier this week and about how we, you know, the laws that this nation was set up with, and the Bible itself, we are to be a self-governing people. We have the Bible, it says, don't kill, don't steal, don't do these things. Love God, love your neighbor, and God says, this is what you're supposed to do. And we are to be self-governing. And when we follow those laws, statutes, judgments, edicts, commandments, suggestions, whatever you want to call them, and when we did as a nation, as a people in this nation, when the people follow them, then the people and the nation are blessed. And as you said, there's no more fear of God. Well, you know, why should I follow them? Well, the Bible says so. You know, my dad taught me that way. And if not, then your nation won't be blessed. Not only not will you not be blessed, but your neighbors and their neighbors and so forth. And when there was a love for your neighbor, well, that was important. And, you know, that is not on the people's minds anymore.
Another thing to look into is, I think at one time, the Supreme Court, you know, ruled basically they'd interpret what God's law was, and that's how they would rule. And even if the lower courts were corrupt, they knew that at some point, if they got out of hand, that, you know, it would eventually be appealed to the Supreme Court. And a lot of those things were turned over in even in higher federal courts. But now the court system, you know, they have the whole court system, the Antichrist. So the Supreme Court obviously isn't ruling by God's word. But apparently they changed the way that they ruled the Supreme Court at a certain time in the I don't know what year it was, but that'd be another one I think that would be worth looking into.
Yeah, when you were talking about treason and what it means, I mean, what comes to my mind, and I don't know if this is where they got it at or not, but where the Bible talks about, you know, being good to the wicked, you know, how we're not to put them up, you know, and how you're not to bless the wicked, you know, and we've been blessing that wicked nation over there in Jerusalem for a long time, you know, I mean, the old Jerusalem, and that is treason. When you go and you start blessing Antichrist, you
good
are
point.
Slapping your God in the face, and it's treason. You know, I mean, now where they came up with, you know, how they sat down and they wrote those laws and stuff, well, if you can go by examples of other laws, they probably got it right out of there. I mean, that's probably what they used is, you know, if we're going to be a godly people and we want to be blessed, then we got to have these laws and rules, you know. I mean, and like you said, yeah, I mean, with all this stuff with the Clintons going on and it's been going on for years and years and years with other administrations too. I'm not sure I'd want them to bring those laws back in, because the ones that they would call treason now would be the good people, the ones that would try to do the right thing, you know, and they would call that treason, you know what I mean, because that's just...
Well, they already
not,
are, it's a hate
yeah,
crime.
Yeah, they already are, you know, because they just do the opposite, you know, you can read it in the Word.
Yeah, that's a good point. Pastor Peter's always mentioned, too, you know, in 41 or whatever, when they gave Israel their state and...
Yeah, 48.
I forget where it was, 41 or 42 or whatever, they started giving billions of dollars to Israel, and that's really when the major decline started in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. The U.N. came in, and in 1947 and 1948, they all agreed that they would give the land of the Palestine to the Israeli and put the lie in there right from the very beginning. And, you know, Pastor always taught, So since the end of World War II, since the late 40s, has this nation been blessed or has this nation been cursed? You know, do we have more crime in the streets or less? Do we have more cancer or less? You know, do we have more debt or less? Do we have more enemies living among us, stealing our children, killing our people or less since then? And you know, if you're doing your Bible reading plan for 2015, yep, we're going to push that all year long. Then tomorrow, you're going to read Deuteronomy 28. I encourage you to get up and read that before church tomorrow. The Bible reading plan tomorrow is Deuteronomy 28, 29. At least read 28. It's about 70 verses. And you'll see.
Yeah, the first 14 verses are the blessings, and the 15 through 65 is the curses.
Yes. And you just look through that and see how it applies. And then you can tell which way we are. Well, guys, the phone's ringing over here. I guess we could take a caller this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Treason is literally to betray. And it's the highest civil crime of civil nature in which a man can be found guilty. It is aiding and comforting the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you come across this border, you get free medical care, you get food, you get a place to stay. What else could you call that? They don't like us. They hate us.
Yep.
They're using us like a tick uses a dog. And I'm sitting here thinking, we visualize these stories that the CIA cooks up with, like ISIS and whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, what if the really, really, really bad guys live here in the United States that orchestrate all of this? Is it possible? What if American Sniper was sniping the wrong people? I'm just asking questions. If ever there was a time for the death penalty, you take a man, two guys, and you shoot them both in the back, and you don't qualify for the death penalty, but you're guilty. At what point do you qualify for the death penalty? A lady in Arizona hacks up her boyfriend, which I suspect he's not a great guy, but she's found guilty of hacking him up, like you stick somebody in a wood chipper. And she doesn't qualify for the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So my point here is, weren't there more Israelites in captivity than there were Egyptians controlled by the Assyrians
yes.
at the time of the slavery?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I'm sitting here thinking, we just can't imagine somebody slicing somebody's head off for an execution. But look at our hospitals. They just butcher people daily, and they get medals for it. And these people have got a convoluted way of thinking. They always got to give each other a medal. Have you noticed, whether it be in acting or medicine or this presidential crap where they give them a gay thing to wear around their neck, they celebrate losers in the Kennedy thing? They love to bring attention to themselves. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these are people that are much worse than Jihadi Joe over there. Think about it.
Well, they definitely are. They definitely are, brother, because Jihadi Joe over there, all you know that he's doing is what you see on Fox or MSNBC or the Always Barack channel or whatever. That's all you know about him. Mm-hmm. But here in this country, We have 900,000 abortions a year. You know, those could be spouses for our children. Those could be white people that would be that could work in this nation. And it's definitely here. Here we have the illegal aliens come in and they steal, kill, and destroy right here.
Now think of Goldman Sachs and these other banks. They went out of business. They spent billions of dollars going in the red, screwing people out of their money, But even in that, they went broke. And we went and we stole money from the slaves and gave it to them. Now they're living high on the hog again. You're going to tell me
our
this
God is
not
a high crime? Our God is not mocked.
Well, they're mocking him.
Yeah, but we know the end of the story. So,
we,
I mean, you know and I know without national repentance and without...
Do you remember the Green Beret movie where the John Wayne says, the gooks are over the fence, bring in the fire on top of us?
Yeah.
You remember that part of the movie?
Yeah.
Does it seem kind of like that's where we're at?
Oh, absolutely. The gooks are in the wire.
Yeah, these creatures of disgust, these animals, they're in control right now, and God's people, which are his right-hand men, I don't know the answer. I mean, I know the answer. I'm trying to figure out how to implement it.
Yeah. Well, the answer
you know
is,
what?
He said he'll punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. So that's
how,
the key.
How are we different than David? How are we as children of Israel different than David? They mocked God, and David said, that's enough. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there are a few people standing up and saying no. You know, you don't hear about it. You don't see that on the Always Barack channel or MSNBC or Fox or anywhere.
Now, Richard
but
Fox,
there are
a few
people
that.
Standing up and saying no. You know, they're saying no to the vaccinations. They're saying no to bowing down to the homosexual agenda and serving them.
Well, we know some of those people.
We do. We do. And I think that's where we, you know, it's the masses aren't going to change. The nation, most Americans, they don't give a rat's blue you know what. Give them their Budweiser and their football games or basketball games or hockey games or baseball or curling or soccer now, and they're happy. And they'll always be that way, you know, right up until the day of destruction, and then it'll all change. But the masses aren't going to change. It's going to be that remnant and then the remnant of the remnant, you know. What was it back in 1776? What was it, Jason? 3% of the population fought on the side of the states?
That's all it took.
3%. And you know, I think, if we get closer to that today, then...
To my knowledge, they didn't even have the gay issue back then.
No.
I think they were happy to be able
to do that.
If you go forward in battle before the Lord directs you to go forward, then you're not going to have the victory. So we have to figure out what it is that we need to do so that we can hear from God what it is that he wants us to do, and then he will fight the battle for us. We can't be foolish just on our own whim battle. That's just all I got to say. So.
Well, with David, you know, I mean, you read the story of David, and he had battles in his youth as he's growing up. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Not that he wasn't youth when the real battle came. So we can fight those battles just like he did as our personal battles as when we're growing up. But there's going to be a battle of Armageddon. We all know about it. When it's going to be war, and it's going to be them against us and us against them, and we already know who wins, which is what an advantage we have.
Yeah.
But we get to be David at some point, you know. When that is, nobody knows. You know, we're waiting for it. We're getting our armor ready. We're getting that obedience. At least we're trying to get that obedience complete. And when that obedience is complete, their heads are going to roll just like Goliath's head rolled.
Amen.
And we're going to be David's, you know. And we picture it in the flesh, and maybe it's going to be just right here in the flesh. I mean, because that's how I picture it. But whether it's in the flesh or in the spirit or how, we know it's going to happen. So we get that chance. We're going to get that chance.
And until that chance, we have to, like you were saying, be like David, win those small battles. Win those battles.
And it might not seem small when the lion's coming at you or a bear's coming at you. That might not seem that small.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
But it's still small in comparison to the battle that's coming. And that battle might be tomorrow.
The good news is I just opened up my Bible at Psalms 91, and it's still there. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. And 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. And that's one of the one of the characteristics, and one of the battles we have to win now in our mind, is what you started out with, John. They shall not be afraid. They shall not be afraid.
And this kind of goes back to that treason subject, because, I mean, it was David that said, do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord?
I hate them with the utmost hatred.
You know, and if we don't do that, you know, we are betraying our God. You know, I mean.
Yep, that's a good point. Absolutely. And you will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. We got to remember to keep praying that.
Let's hasten his coming.
What's that?
I said, let's hasten his coming.
Yeah. Well, we got to make sure, you know, the Bible warns about that as well. I mean, are you ready to face that judgment right now? Is your life in complete order? That's the question.
And I don't know that was directly you, but
that's a great question.
But it is for each and every one of us to, you know, to look at. Am I ready? You know, if the clouds split in 7 minutes. From east to west and north to south, and the trumpet sound and the white horse, and our Lord and Savior comes with the white horse and the flaming sword. Are we ready? You know, we better be.
I know what Pastor Peter would say. I'll tell you when you're not ready is when you haven't went down into that baptism and came up. Yeah, that's right. That's when you're not ready.
That's right. And
yeah,
you know,
good point.
You have problems during the week. I don't know about you guys, but I do. I sure look forward to Sunday morning to be able to go in there and to be able to take the time, whether I'm forced or not, but to take the time to remember, you know, that body and that blood that was shed for each and every one of us. And, you know, what a Savior to put in there that, you know, hey, we can come and confess our sins, and he's quick to forgive them. You know, Lord, help me do better next
week. Here's a question I got. What does that mean, are you ready? Let's put that into a definition. I am ready when. This is how I get ready. Here's a checklist. You ask me if I'm ready. I might think I'm ready, but what do we mean by ready?
Is your obedience complete?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Not.
I think the pastor has a message on that somewhere, doesn't he, Jason?
Complete.
Maybe we should dig it up and listen to it.
Good point. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that. Just see what his opinion was, because he was pretty sharp.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you for allowing me to speak, and appreciate you guys getting up and just discussing this stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Russell. Brother Brent in Canada sent a text to me and said, Matthew 28:18-20, so we'll read that. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we need that. We have to. I think part of it too is that mark of Christ. Kyle, you brought a little insight one time on that. Not worrying about the mark of the beast so much, but that mark of Christ. And if I remember it right, it was part of it was that sighing and groaning out, that crying out to God at all the abominations that are here.
Ezekiel 9:4. You know, I mean, that's kind of people we're supposed to be. And Revelations 9:4. And, you know, I always think when some, you know, is my obedience complete? I always think of Paul in Romans, where he talks about what can separate you from the love of Christ. You know, and there's a checklist there. You know, and none of those things that are listed there are supposed to be able to separate you from the love of Christ. You know, and so that's a good checklist right there. Can any of those things separate me? Can tribulation? Can
you're going to have?
Can fear? Can all these things that's going on? Can it separate you from the love of Christ? Because if it can, you're probably not ready.
Good point. Good point. And you know, we try to do that. Pastor always tried to do that, to open the people's eyes, to say, hey, listen, you know, the way things are out there are not the way things are supposed to be. Read Deuteronomy 28 tomorrow. Read the first 14, 15 verses, and you'll see the blessings and the way things are supposed to be when we follow him, that we don't do it as a nation, so the nation's not blessed like that. But you know, when you do it in your home, when you do it in your life, well, then you do see some of those blessings. You do have that. You have that peace that passes all understanding, so you don't have fear. Do you know what they can do? You know what they're doing to people out there in Denver and out in Washington? They're closing down their businesses. They're throwing them in jail and blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe. But is that what we're to fear? Or are we to go back and read, as you did, John, that Psalms 91 and say, no, wait a minute. I'm not to fear. I'm not to fear the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that starts at nighttime or the plague that's coming. You know, I'll stand there and see 1,000 fall here and 10,000 there, and I'll just see it. Me and my God, we will just see it with our eyes. And what does it say you see there with your eyes? The reward of the wicked. Because that's what they got coming. The Goldman Sachs boys.
Recompense of the wicked.
Right, and that's what it means, I think, is the reward. And that's what they've got coming. That's what they've got coming. They can have their heyday now, but that's what they have to look forward to. I like how you brought that out, Kyle. Yeah, we have the tribulation now. We have the aliens that have invaded us here among us. We have the churches themselves embracing and promoting sin.
Think about it. The world teaches you not to hate, right? That's what the public fool system is doing, is they're teaching these kids that to hate is wrong. Well, no, it's not. We are to hate evil, period. And that's, you know, Dad did a series of messages on that, holy hate. But that's why that political correctness was so important. That's why their racism is so important, because it gets people to believe the lie that we're not to hate.
Well, we've got a few minutes left. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, I wanted to look for something here. If I can flip over to it.
Thought it was different, interesting on this. Did you see that on March 16th is when we're going to hit the deadline for the debt ceiling?
No, really? What, at 18 trillion or whatever?
It's just kind of interesting because, okay, you know, Congress is in a panic right now because we're going to hit the limit on March 16th. And, you know, it's just, you know, just contrary to, you know, any logic or any reasoning. I mean, you know, you're headed towards a debt ceiling, you're getting ready, like, you know, you just basic economics. Okay, you're budgeting for the month of March, and you see that you're spending too much money. What do? Oh, you
go borrow more money.
And that's exactly what they do. It's, oh, okay, well, we gotta raise the debt ceiling. We gotta borrow more money. We gotta pass laws where we can borrow more money. We can raise it again. And you know, it's one of those things that it's sad to see. Because it's completely insanity. Well, it's not insanity. It's what it is it's enslavement. And, you know, you see things like that, and, you know, you think about, you know, enslavement of, you know, generations, basically, is what it amounts to. And
one word, Jason. Babylon.
Babylon, yeah. Or bankruptcy, you know?
Yeah.
You ever wonder what would happen this whole debt ceiling? What if we just filed bankruptcy? Boom.
Yeah.
Canceled all the debt.
Default. But here's the deal. Is it even real anymore? No, it's not even real anymore. All it is a pushing button and punching in numbers. I mean, and the rest of the world's starting to figure it out. So. Well, that was my two cents, so you guys think of something.
Well, it's I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it just seems like how many years ago was it that we hit that? Was it 2004? No, it was 2009, 2010 when they had their last. I mean, it was about 4 years ago the last time they had their emergency crisis and had to raise the debt ceiling, I think.
Yeah, time's going so fast anymore, it's hard to even... I mean, it seems like it was
it seems
the end
like
of last year,
ago, but
so
I
don't even know when it was.
Oh, I know.
Well, guys, the phone's ringing. We'll take a couple minutes, take another phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. Hey, you know, when people don't know what to do, facing the problems on the outside, we just get the Word of God on our inside. Work on our own problems. That will build us up. And if enough of us are built up, we wouldn't have these problems on the outside.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
You're right.
Amen.
Oh, that's...
And when you get in the Word every day, that's exactly what happens, is you start to see that there's nothing new under the sun. The Israelites faced all this stuff originally, and it's our own fault because we fell asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel. We got fat and happy, and, you know, not us particularly, but as a people that used to call themselves God-fearing Christians.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, on that debt ceiling, didn't they just fund all these programs for the year right before the election, and there is a big hoopla because now everything's funded and there's nothing they can do? Did they spend all that money already?
Probably.
That's fascinating.
It is. You know, if you look at it, they crashed the economy in 08, passed a $1 trillion deficit bill or spending bill, whatever it was, and basically they've used that money against the American people ever since.
Yeah.
Oh, I got one other.
Go ahead.
One other thought. You know, if they're approving the same-sex marriage here, a decision they're going to make in the next couple months to make it the law of the land, I'm wondering, I know there was never any separation of church-state. It was all state church is what they are against, but they brought in this wickedness with their separation of church and state and got out of our schools and stuff. I don't understand how they can enter the church and mandate same-sex marriages in the church when they have their own justice of the peace system out there where these same-sex people could get married outside of the doors of the church.
Well, it's just an attack based on their tax exemption status, their 501c3 status.
And it's also a way to change Christianity. You know, Christianity is based on the tenets of Jesus Christ, on his words, on his way, on his will, on what he says do and what he says don't do. So when they can come in and change that, and they can come in and say, well, you know, what you have to do now is accept these things and do these things, then, you know, they are able to change Christianity in the minds of the people, to where the people think that, well, if we're doing we're doing this in the church, it must be right.
Well, perhaps these churches that are going to be affected by this should open their eyes and discover maybe their leadership aren't who they really think they are, aren't really apostles or disciples of God, and find a much better church.
Then our prayer for 20 years.
They should, but yeah, they have itching ears, and they get the preachers that they want.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
But I think you'll see. It's a test too. It's maybe a final test of God to really see how far that these so-called Judeo-Christian churches will take this. You know, will they take it to the point of the abomination of same-sex marriage? And I've talked to some local pastors, and they're combating it, and they're not going to do it, and they're going to, at least that's what they're saying, is that, you know, let the cards fall where they may. So may the best God win. I remember that. Our pastor said that when they tried to take the church. So
yeah, he was quite an outstanding gentleman, wasn't he?
Amen.
Caller,
all right,
for the call.
Thank you very much.
We'll try to get this other caller on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And phone line's ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Men, Howard here.
Morning.
Good morning, Howard.
Hey, Howard.
Yeah, I run into a snowstorm, so I'm running late, so I'm awake. Anyhow, I get a praise report. I'm sure you men have prayed for Dina, our daughter-in-law, that has the two little girls that said that she believed in the Big Bang Theory. A friend of hers has been taking her to church, and she's doing really well. So,
praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And everything's fine.
Got another praise report. Another praise report for little Will there, too.
Yeah, he's doing great. He got out of, the Lord delivered him from his felony charges, and he's doing real well down in Ketchikan. So he's in a rehab deal down there. So he's doing real well down there. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, praise Jesus. So things are coming together. It seems like they come slow, but they're coming together.
Glad to hear it.
But anyhow, I appreciate you, man, and all you do for us. So.
All right.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a
Godspeed. Angels be about you.
You bet. You bet I'm going to bed. In about 8 minutes.
All right, thank you.
Hey, have a good day. Blessings to you guys.
Sweet. And to you, Howard. Thank
sweet
you
dreams.
All right. 8 minutes. That's about how much time we got left. So he's going to join us till then, and he's been up most of the week, I think. You know, Russell had said what we talked a little bit about our checklist and stuff, and in 1 Samuel 15, starting in verse 22, it's the prophet Samuel speaking, and he says, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." And these were the words that God had given Samuel to come against Saul, because Saul had turned. You flip back just a little bit back in 1 Samuel 11, and the Spirit of the God came upon Saul mightily when he heard the abominations that the people were considering, because they were in captivity, and the Ammonites were against them. And, you know, that's the story where the Nahash, the Ammonite, says, I'll let you live at peace with us as we gouge out your right eye of every one of you. And, you know, it seems like that's happened with us again. You know, oh yeah, churches, we'll live at peace with you as long as you put in homosexual preachers, and, you know, you let our Catholic priest have perversions with your children. Yeah, we'll still let you live at peace as long as you let us do that. But it today it's not like it was back in the days of 1 Samuel, because today the people have said, okay.
I think we just got the theme for this year's Branson. Hear and obey. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, but you know, there in 1 Samuel,
we need to listen.
Listen
to the Lord.
1 Samuel 11:6, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry." And it says, and he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces. He sent them throughout the territories of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out as one man. And you read on down, they struck down the Ammonites. And, you know, we certainly have to pray for that dread of the Lord to come upon the people, as it did then. Because the fear of the Lord isn't on them. So if the fear of the Lord isn't on them, then they better get that dread before they get his punishment.
Amen.
And then we talked earlier about the there in Psalms, about hating. And it's Psalms 139. You can start in verse 19. Maybe we got a couple more minutes. We got time to read it, I think. And it says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. And you know, that can still be our prayer today. It's certainly an imprecatory prayer, and it should be our prayer today. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly. And don't we see that in our land today? Don't we see that in... We do. They speak against the Lord wickedly. And your enemies take your name in vain. Verse 21, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. And that verse 21, do I not loathe those who rise up against you? That, to me, it brings to mind, Kyle, that mark of Christ that you've talked about in the past, that sighing and groaning out and crying out to God, the lamentations over the land and crying out because of the sin of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeremiah, I've been in Jeremiah quite a bit lately, along with the Deuteronomy, keeping up with the Bible reading plan. But on the introduction in the New American Standard, it says, Jeremiah was always conscious of his call from the Lord to be a prophet. And as such, he proclaimed words that were spoken first by God himself and were therefore certain of fulfillment. Judgment is one of all pervasive themes in Jeremiah's writings, though he was careful to point out that repentance, if sincere, would postpone the inevitable. For Jeremiah, God was ultimate. His theology conceived of the Lord as the creator of all that exists, as all-powerful, and is everywhere present. At the same time, God is very much concerned about individual people and their accountability to him.
Amen.
And as you read Jeremiah, that kind of fits the theme of hear and obey.
Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. Men, thanks for joining us this morning. And Remnant, we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can just go to scripturesforamerica.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Click on the live broadcast and join us. We hope that you will. You'll have an opportunity to pray, to sing, to worship God, to partake of communion. So we hope you'll do that. Guys, thanks again for joining us. And, hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Ha! Rolling, rolling,
rolling,
rolling,
rolling,
rolling,
keep moving.
moving, moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our.